Last week I was speaking to you about the different voices that come over your mind, and even tonight I want to speak to you about that. And tonight I want to speak to you about the voice of criticism, how to handle that. Amen. Sometimes there is this huge chatter that goes on in the minds of God's people, a huge conversation that goes on. It's almost like an unseen enemy having a conversation with you. And some of you have tried your level best to be free from that, but tonight I feel that God is going to set you free from a very critical process of thinking that's been affecting your soul. He's going to set you free. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How to have victory over a critical spirit. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. We're going to read through the entire verses. Because I don't have much, we're going to take our time reading the entire scripture. Is that okay? John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon, son, which should be betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she done this? For the poor always will be with you, but you will not have me with you always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Lazarus had just died 3 days or 4 days back, sometime back, and God raised him from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. And here is Lazarus at a meal with Jesus, and people came not only to see Jesus, but they came to see Lazarus. So here is Lazarus signing autographs, allowing selfies to be taken, standing there shaking hands with people. He didn't do anything. God did something for him, and he's there, and people have come to see that. How many of you believe that God will do something in your life? It's not because you have done something, but God will do something in your life. You were just dead, but he will resurrect you. Your dream, your hope, wherever you have been dead, your health, your finances, he will do a miracle. You've been dead, but somebody has prayed for you. Somebody has cried for you. He will do a miracle for you, and people will come to see the miracle that God has done over your life, and they will celebrate that victory with you. Amen. Some people come to celebrate, some people come to kill. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at the scripture here. It says there, Mary was worshiping the Lord. She was passionate. We know the story. She was at the feet of the Lord, pouring forth a year's salary. That's what it takes to buy a pound of ointment, the spikenard that came from India. She came, took it forth. It was about 300 pence. That's a year's wages. So all that she had saved up over a period of time, Bible scholars believe most probably it must have been something that's been in the family like a treasure for a long time, a heirloom. And so she takes it and she comes and breaks it and pours it forth at the feet of Jesus. Amen. The moment she has decided to pour forth her life and something precious in the sight of the Lord, look at the criticism that comes up. Are you with me? Extravagant, wasteful, terrible. She could have done something better with this. Isn't it amazing? The moment you choose to follow Jesus or do something for Him, you're passionate about the Lord, immediately the critical voices come up. Somebody will tell you, why are you praying all the time? Don't you have anything else to do? Why are you wasting your time by going to a church? You don't even understand the language. Why are you sitting there for worship? I mean, come on, do something else. Why are you being extravagant? Why are you just spending all those hours in worship? Listen, let me tell you, there will always be a critical voice that comes against you whenever you are passionate for the name of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. I think it was Aristotle who said, to avoid criticism, do nothing. Say nothing and be nothing. To avoid criticism, what? The great prophet, Aristotle. He's not a prophet, just joking. He said, do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. He said, how do you want your life? You want to do something for God, or you want to do something with your life that is significant, just not about Jesus and serving Him? Anything that you want to do in life, if you're going to break some boundaries, and I mean, if you're going to do something that is out of the box, you're going to go a little further than the people in your family or friends or neighborhood has done, let me tell you, expect the voice of criticism. Are you with me? Not everybody's going to sit there and clap and say, how excited I am. You're doing that? Wow, you started a new business? Wow, oh my God, you did that? You started another office? Oh boy, you're stepping out to serve Jesus? Wow, not everybody's going to clap. Not everybody's going to applaud all that you do. But let me tell you, in life, if you've decided to do something, there'll always be a critical voices that come forth from within. There'll be critical voices that come forth from people around you. But God is going to give you victory over that as long as you come. Are you pressing at the feet of Jesus Christ? Amen. Many a time criticism comes because people have an expectation about you. They want you to do something that is the norm, and you do things outside the norm. Are you with me? And they criticize you. There are times when there is a huge gap that comes in life because the expectations of the people on one side and what God wants you to do on the other side. Have you ever felt that? Anybody who aspires to follow the Lord or obey the Lord will always find that. You have God telling you to do something and people expecting you to do something else. And they try to control you with that. And sometimes that gap is so huge. And you've got to come to a point of decision where you say, am I going to just sit here with expectation of people so I can avoid criticism and be nice and sweet and, you know, just have chai with them? Or am I going to obey the Lord? Am I going to fulfill what God wants me to do? Am I going to just do the will of God? If you're going to do the will of God, these voices are going to come up. Those people are going to turn against you. But God will give you victory. How many of you have ever experienced that in your life? Anytime you want to do something with your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. People will always have an opinion. People will always have a different view. People will always have objections to what you do. But as long as you are doing what God wants you to do, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You will have the presence of the Lord with you. Are you with me? Amen. So Mary is a person who is under the pressure of false expectations of people. Look at Martha. Martha is sitting there. She's serving the Lord, the Bible says. Before also in the scripture when you read, she served the Lord, but she was critical. She was critical over Mary. But here is Martha serving the Lord. She has matured over a period of time. Are you with me? There are times people mature over a period of time. The times they serve the Lord without comparing themselves or looking at somebody else and say, look at what that person is not doing. Look at this person, what they're doing. You know, you don't compare yourself with somebody. There are times you do what God expects you to do and you mature and you're just grateful God gave you an opportunity to serve Him. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what their expectations are. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what their opinion is. All that matters to you is, okay, let me do what God has called me to do. Let me do what God has called me to do. Anybody with me here tonight? Praise the Lord. Lift your hand and say, let me do what God has called me to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And look at Lazarus. Lazarus is chilling. He's sitting on the lazy boy. The Bible says he's seated with Jesus on the table. Most probably he must, you know, Bible scholars believe that actual translation is he was leaning on the table. Most of the time, you know, you just, they used to lean like this, relaxed and happy. How many of you would love a lazy boy in the church where you can come and, you know, sometimes you find this seat. I pray that God will give us a nice place where you can come and, yeah, preach, pastor. If the message is bad, I might as well go to sleep. But, yeah, I'm here. Would you like a chair like that? Lazarus is pretty much seated, chilling, enjoying the dinner. Amen. Hallelujah. Pretty relaxed. You know why? The worst thing that can happen to his life has happened. It is just not criticism. He died and Jesus rose from the dead. So how can you scare a man like Lazarus? If somebody comes to him and says, I'm going to kill you, Lazarus will say, go ahead, do it. Because as long as I stick close to Jesus, he's going to raise me up. Are you with me? How many of you believe no matter what people try to do against you, as long as you're sticking close to Jesus Christ, you will resurrect again, you will have life again, you will come back again. Hallelujah. Even out of the grave, you will make a comeback again to glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lazarus is pretty much there, knowing that, forget criticism, even if you put me to death, if as long as I stick close to Jesus, I'm going to rise again. Some of you will only be relaxed in life when you have that kind of confidence in God. Are you with me? Just don't forget criticism. Forget whatever the worst people can do against you. I've had so many threats in my life, so many things that people have said over years. If, you know, over years, or every time you want to obey the Lord or do something for the Lord, it's going to ruffle some feathers. Are you with me? Anything, anytime. Anytime. And if you're going to passionately sell, if you haven't ruffled any feathers of anyone lately, chances are that you are obeying Aristotle, doing nothing, saying nothing, and being nothing. But as long as you're going to follow Jesus, chances are that you're going to ruffle some feathers. But you got to choose. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Bring the worst. My God will see me through. Look at somebody and say, whatever the worst the enemy comes against you, as long as you hang around Jesus Christ, you will come back to life again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and give a shout to Jesus if you believe that. Amen. So how do you get a victory over this critical voice in your life? Whether it comes from your family, in relationship, when there is an expectation gap, whether it be in business, whether it be in church, how do you overcome it? The first point. Look at John chapter 12. And verse 1. Verse 2. There they made him a supper. There they made him a supper. So whose dinner was that? Whose dinner was that? Was it a dinner for Lazarus? No. Was it a dinner for Martha? No. Was it a dinner for Mary? No. Whose dinner was that? That was a dinner for Jesus. Are you with me? When Jesus has the seat of honor in your life, The objection of others will lose their weight. Are you with me? When Jesus as the seed of honor in your life, the criticism or the objections of others will lose their weight in your life. Who is criticizing? Judas. It's not a dinner for Judas. Are you with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. People will always have an opinion. Sometimes you have to listen. Are you with me? Sometimes when you are open before the Lord, you will listen to everyone. That's fine. It doesn't matter. But there are times when you know this is not from the Lord. God is calling you to do this, and this is not definitely not from the Lord. That's an opinion that person has. It's fine. You've got to obey the Lord. The Hebrew word for glory is kabad, which means weight. So when you place Jesus in the seat of honor in your life, the voice of others will lose the power over your life. When you remember what Jesus done for you, when you remember what the Lord has done for you, and when you are grateful for all that God has done for you, and when He's got the seat of honor in your life, every other voice in your life will lose its weight or hold over your life. Who cares what people say? Because Jesus got the honor over my life. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the first point. Is that a good point? Is that a good point? Look at somebody and say, that's a good point if you like it. If you don't like it, don't lie. When people were criticizing him, criticizing her, Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a good thing. Let me tell you, when you place Jesus above you and honor him above everything else in your life, the Lord will always speak on behalf of you. It might take some time, but those critical voices will fall apart because God himself will vindicate you. He himself will speak into your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus liked actually what she did. Are you with me? I live by the motto, if Jesus likes what I do, that's fine. People don't like it. I try to accommodate them as much as possible. I'm patient. I try to accommodate people. I try to bear along and handle along and hold along and gather along and guide along and all that. But at the end of the day, this boom, 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 if they're going on, okay. Let God deal with this. The second point. Look beneath the insult. Look beneath the insult. Sometimes when people criticize, we don't know their true motive. Judas criticized, and you would think Judas actually had the welfare of this woman in mind. But Judas, all that Judas was concerned was about himself. He was stealing money. He was doing something wrong. And suddenly this woman's extravagant worship drove him nuts. It brought out the guilt in him. And he's affected. Are you with me? It is sometimes an issue of the person who criticizes and not your issue. Are you with me? Judas, haven't you seen that? Somebody says, for an example, listen, I'm doing homeschooling for my child. I had one of my cousins who did that, you know, was homeschooling the child. And somebody else says, you know, passes judgment, says, hey, who do they think they are? They're are they better teachers than the teachers in the school? See, all that person is doing something out of the box. He's homeschooling his children. He's entitled there. But the perception that other people have, okay, he must be thinking that he's better than the teachers to homeschool his child. He didn't think that. How do you know that? Are you with me? Just an example. You can take examples one after the other. Maybe that person is feeling guilty. He's not looking after his kid properly the way he's supposed to. He doesn't have enough time to spend with his kids. And somebody else is teaching the kids. It could be that guilt. So there are times when you get victory over an insulting or a critical spirit by looking beyond that or looking beneath that. And sometimes seeing the motive of people, why they say what they say. Sometimes you put somebody into the pulpit for preaching or ministering. And somebody in the crowd will sit there and say, oh, you know, the message is seriyaa. You know why? That person had a desire to be on that pulpit and God put somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the motive is exposed. Are you with me tonight? Is this helping somebody? In your life, if you don't want criticism, do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. But if you and me are going to be people who will serve the Lord and do something with our lives, let me tell you, these critical voices will come up. And you got to know, let me look beyond that. Let me look beyond that. Judas is only thinking about himself. Here is this woman thinking about Jesus. Are you with me? Most people think about themselves, about their lives, are the ones who criticize. Because they have this... Sometimes people come and say, you know, oh, personal life in the sugar. They expect you to pick up the call, answer a message back immediately, you know, visit every home, pray for them, you know, be there for everything. Because what do they expect? And you can't meet their expectation. And here is God telling you to pray a little bit more and somebody messages, you can't answer that. Are you with me? You have to be who God has called you to be and do what God has called you to do, even when that critical voice is around you. This woman could have stopped her worship. There are many people who stopped coming to church. You know why? Because somebody criticized them. And so they stopped. She could have said, okay, no more worship. Okay, Judas, you win, man. I'm going. You've been here before I was, huh? You were in this church with Jesus long time back? I mean, right from the start, Judas, you were there? And you think this is extravagant? This is too much? Okay, I'll stop it. I don't have your maturity, but I'm learning from you. There are many people who learn the wrong stuff. They learn from Judas. There are people faithful in the church, and there are people like Judases who come in here to criticize, and some people learn from Judas, but some people learn from Jesus. We are people who learn from Jesus Christ even when there are critical voices. Don't stop your worship. Don't forfeit your giving. Don't let go of your passion. Step in and do what God has called you to do, and the blessing of God will continue to be upon your life. Praise the Lord. Or she could have got upset over Judas. She could have actually taken that bottle and broken it over his head. Man, what on earth, you saying that to me? But she pressed forward, she looked upward. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Most of the time, it's just not the expectation of others, but our interpretation of the expectation of others. Are you with me tonight? Is this helping somebody? I need a little bit of encouragement while I'm preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Our expectation or our interpretation of the expectation of others. Simple example, just imagine a husband and wife goes on for a holiday. The husband's idea of holiday is sit in the room, watch TV, IPL is going on, let me watch IPL. Chennai Super Kings is playing Mumbai Indians, let me watch there. Have a kebab, sit there. And the wife's motive of a holiday is, hey, listen, let's go into the beach. We got this hotel by the beach. Let's go to the beach. Let's jump in the water. Let's go ski. Let's do something else. Are you with that? And she comes to the husband and says, what's wrong with you? Are you having temperature or something? Because she is interpreting, okay, we are on a holiday. We're supposed to be having fun. But he's having fun watching TV. Are you with me? Just an example. Just an example. Many a family problem happens just like that over a holiday. Because two expectations. Once a pastor was sharing and he said, you know, when he goes for a holiday with his wife, he just like to just chumma sit. And the wife wants to go on and, you know, do a lot of stuff. And she thinks, listen, are you just sitting here because you don't like me? Because I said something wrong? What's happening? No. He's just comfortable. He's just having a holiday. Don't try to get into his mind to understand him. And interpret things. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The second point itself, the second part of the second point. There is a two part to the second point. Wow. It is look beneath and see the pain of the people who are saying something. Stephen Covey. I don't know whether you have read the book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. Fantastic. In his books, good book. He speaks about how he was sitting in a subway on a Sunday morning, trying to be relaxed and happy and peaceful. And then there was suddenly a man who walked in, and this man walked in, and he had kids with him, and the kids were making a lot of noise and screaming and jumping around, and this man was sitting there with his eyes closed, you know, just like that. And this guy said, he looked around at the other passengers and people who were there, and everybody was getting irritated with the Lord, the noise the kids were making. So he thought, listen, he said, somebody needs to go to this man and say something to him. He has to be responsible for his kids and not make them make sort of a lot of noise. So after a long time, he walked up. After a long time, he walked up to this man and he said, listen, I think you need to be a little bit more responsible. You need to handle your kids better. They're making a lot of noise. Everybody is trying to have a quiet Sunday morning in the subway here. You know, just... So this man says, yeah, even I don't know how to handle this because I'm just coming forth from a hospital. I don't know how to handle my kids because their mother just died in the hospital an hour back. See, even I am trying to get over what I'm going through, and I don't know how to handle my kids now. I'm just trying to get over it. The moment this man said that, Stephen Covey says, everything, the perspective changed. Oh boy, I didn't look past that pain. I didn't look beneath. If he was behaving that way, there must have been a good enough reason. Then immediately his response changed. How can I help? Can I do something? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The last point, and I stop with this. Nobody can bring you down when you are at the feet of Jesus. When criticism rises, critical spirits or thoughts come up, nobody can bring you down when you are at the feet of Jesus. I just want to leave a picture with you. Are you with me? Huh? You want to see a picture? Imagine Jesus, Jesus. And I'm at the feet of Jesus. Worshipping Him. Loving Him. Giving my all to Him. How can somebody bring me down? I'm already down at His feet. If I was standing up, somebody can bring me down. But as I already at the feet of Jesus worshiping Him, you have your ultimate victory when you learn in your life to always take that safe posture of being at the feet of Jesus Christ whenever criticism rises. Whenever, you know, we have had that as a church. We have faced that from the world. Sometimes you face that outside whenever you, when we took our baptisms, when we decided to buy a place, when we decided to do things that we are doing now. Every time, you know, you have crazy people speaking crazy tongues. You, on a personal level as a leader, you face it all the time. All the time. For everything that you do. You know, people try to look at you and judge you for everything. And try to fit you into their expectation. Cover you up into that. And here you are hard pressed to do what God has called you to do. You're giving your best for the Lord and for the people. Are you with me? Tonight, learn this safe, this learn this picture. Keep this picture in your mind. At the feet of Jesus. When I'm down here at the feet of Jesus, I cannot go down further. He will not allow that. Are you with me? That's your ultimate victory in the Lord. Lift your hand and thank Him tonight. Thank Him tonight. Thank Him tonight. Thank Him tonight. Thank Him tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
As we, I just kneel down and stand up in the presence of the Lord tonight. Let's just take a few moments just tonight. Maybe on a personal level, you are going through some criticism. Would you take your safe posture of being at the feet of Jesus tonight? If you aren't doing anything, I'm sure that, you know, if you're playing it safe and doing nothing for God or for anything for your own lives or for your family, I'm sure that nobody will say anything. But if you are wanting to serve Jesus and obey Him and do it, I'm sure there are 100 million voices around you that tries to nag you, vex you, harass you, oppress you, speak negative things over into your life. But take this safe posture at the feet of Jesus. Take the safe posture of being at the feet of Jesus. Ask the Lord forgiveness for the times you have been critical of somebody, especially if you've been critical of somebody in Christian leadership. I'm just not speaking about me and the church here and the leadership here, but anybody in leadership, in Christian churches, wherever. Ask the Lord forgiveness, because that's like, you know, you're pulling down something negative onto your life. The moment you do that, you're opening yourself up for the enemy to attack you. Ask the Lord forgiveness for that. His blood is sufficient to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Remember, if you place Jesus as the head of the table, as the person who needs to have all the honey, it's the dinner of the Lord. It's not your party. It's not your life. Your life that He has got for you is what matters. Place yourself into the hands of Jesus tonight. If there are people who have criticized you and you are hurt and you feel really that people have harmed you by their criticism whenever you have done, try to do something for the Lord, forgive them. Lay it at the feet of the Lord. It's the Lord's battle. He will rebuke it. He will correct it. It's not your battle. You can't fight it. You can only do what God has called you to do. Forgive those people. Carry not that hurt or that grudge. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Learn to look beyond or beneath. Spend some time in the presence of Jesus tonight to worship Him. Recently, have you done anything of significance for the Lord? Have you been extravagant in your worship, in your giving? Whatever. If not, tonight is a night to just be extravagant in your giving unto the Lord or your life to the Lord. Precious to me, I want to lay it at your feet. I want to be extravagant in my love for you. I want to be, Lord, somebody who will just serve you. It doesn't matter who criticizes, who is critical. I want to serve you. I submit to you, Jesus. I renounce Satan. I renounce the world. And I renounce sin. Jesus, wash me with your precious blood. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. I submit my life to you. Heal my heart of every critical voice. I forgive the people who have criticized me. I forgive them. Let their words not play on my mind. I renounce the power of those words. Thank you, Jesus. I want to obey you. Thank you, Lord. Heal my heart. Help me to do what you expect me to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless everyone who has criticized me. That's